Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalms 3. Psalm chapter 3. Both Pastor and Adam kind of touched on my message this morning in a roundabout way. Adam preached some on peace in Sunday school, and Pastor talked about David. And those are both going to be part of my message as well. So, Psalm 3. This is a psalm of David. We begin reading in verse 1. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, now that you just help me as I preach and that I'd say everything exactly as you'd want me to, and I'll trust you for that. And thank you, praise you for it. We love you in your name. Amen. Now, this is a psalm of David. And what I want us to see is that in this psalm, David gives us an example to follow. An example to follow. And no matter what is going on in your life, you can trust God to carry you through, and you must trust God to carry you through. I want us to see this afternoon that we can go to God, and we can trust Him to be our shield, can trust Him to shield us, to give us peace, and to be our sustainer and defender, and that He is our salvation. And the setting of this psalm is David. He is fleeing from Absalom, his son, at this time. Now, Absalom, he was probably the oldest surviving son of David, and he was going to be the one by birth that was going to take the throne, if you would look at it, in the royal descent. He would be the one that we'd see as he's next in line. He's going to be the king. And so his pretensions were favored by the people, and he gained their affection. After his return from Geshur, he went up to Hebron, the old capital of Judah, along with a great body of people, and there he proclaimed himself king. And this revolt was so successful that David found it necessary to leave Jerusalem and flee to Mahanaim, beyond Jordan. Whereupon Absalom returned to Jerusalem and took possession of the throne without opposition. Ahithophel, who had been David's chief counselor, he went and joined Absalom, and he became the chief counselor of Absalom then. Hushai also joined Absalom, and that was, from what I could tell, the purpose of trying to counteract the counsel of Ahithophel and kind of be a help to David in that way. He was successful. Hushai was successful with his by his advice that Absalom, he delayed to march against his father, and that gave David time to prepare for a defense. Now Absalom, he did march out against David, and his army was under the command of Joab. And through all of this, David here, he finds himself, his family's against him. People who were close to him are against him. He, in a sense, had nowhere to go but to God. And I want us to see the ways that he went to God, or not went to God, but how he saw God as a help to him, how he trusted God. He said, in verse 3, if you look with me there, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. God was David's shield. A shield is not something that will stop you from going into battle. A shield protects you from the dangers of the battle. You know, God allows us to go through trials to draw us closer to Him. And we can use Him as a shield from the dangers as we go through that. But if we don't look to God when we enter those trials, many times we're going to fail. And we're not going to succeed in those. We must look to God for our shield. Here we see God's protection. This is what a shield does. It protects. And some verses, some from David. Here, 2 Samuel 22:1-3, where God protected David. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Psalms 5:12, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Proverbs 35, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." And then Ephesians 6:16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." God's protection is on those who put their trust in him. We must note that when we are trusting God with our whole heart, that means that we're going to be in his will. We need to think about this. If we are to trust something or someone, that requires action. Each of you, and we've heard this illustration many times, but each of you trusted that that pew is going to hold you up, and you acted on that trust by actually sitting in the pew. When we trust in God and we trust His will, we act upon that. And that action is obedience to God's word. Obedience is required if we are to trust God. Are you acting on your trust, or are you just saying that you trust? The safest place for every Christian is in the center of God's will, and to be in the center of His will is to trust Him completely. David, he trusted God here. He said, "God, you're my shield. I know that you're going to protect me through this." We see God's protection. A shield, it protects. It also deflects. And here, some examples of God taking something that others meant for evil and turned it out for good. We see the example of Joseph. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis 50. God will take those things that others mean for evil against us, and He will use those things for our good. And we see this in the life of Joseph so many times. Genesis 50, look at verse 20. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me," speaking to his brothers, "but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." What seemed like very bad circumstances, and they were, God used every step in Joseph's life to take him further as far as getting closer to God. He took him and kept growing him. And we see that Joseph, he went from a slave to second in command in Pharaoh's army because he trusted God. And God was using everything that was meant for evil and using it for Joseph's good. And God can do the same thing in our lives if we're willing to trust Him. Also, Ephesians 6:16, we already read that. Romans 12:20-21, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I'll go ahead and read Ephesians 6:16 again. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So a shield, it protects, but it also deflects. It stops. And as far as the fiery darts of the wicked here, a shield, if you're being protected by that and you're using it correctly, those fiery darts, they're going to bounce off. They're going to be quenched. They're going to be harmless to you. God will do that for us if we trust Him. He will be our shield. He will protect us. And He will also deflect those fiery darts. Those who try to destroy us and bring evil against us, God will shield us and deflect those things back to them who want to tear us down. Also, in all of that, God wants us to reflect Him when we go through trials. God will deflect the evil, and He wants us then to reflect Himself, to reflect Christ, so that others can see that there is one true God. So we see here that David, he looked to God to be his shield. We also see that David, he looked to God for peace. Look at verse 4 of Psalms chapter 3. Verse 4 of Psalm 3. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. I laid me down and slept. David, he cried to the Lord. This is the first step to peace. We see that David is putting his trust in the Lord as he is now crying out to God. He is praying and seeking God for protection and also for His will to be done. Psalms 5:2 and also verse 8 says, Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto Thee will I pray. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. Psalm 119:76, Let, I pray Thee, Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to Thy word, unto Thy servant. David, he was a man of prayer, and he cried unto the Lord. We must also be men and women of prayer. God, He wants to hear our petitions, and He wants us to call on Him. He wants us to look to Him for everything, all of our needs. We must go to Him in prayer. So we see that first, the first step to peace here is that David, he cried unto the Lord, and then God heard David's cries. David knew that God had heard his prayer. He knew it because he called on God with the right attitude, and that the result of that was the peace of God. And how do I know that? Well, look at verse 5, the first part there. It says, I laid me down and slept. David knew that God was going to take care of him. You know, if I was in that situation, I'd have a very hard time sleeping. I'd have a very hard time just trusting God. I mean, you think about it. All of David's close friends and counselors are against him. His own son is against him. They're out to kill him. David, he was trusting God. He laid down and he slept. God gave him peace. When we trust in God, that will result in the peace of God. Philippians 4:7, And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we trust God, He gives us a peace that is unlike any other. Peace is not always that feeling or emotion of release or freedom of responsibility that, you know, we like to think of it as. Now, when you think about peace, it's, I can just go sit in my chair. I don't have to worry about anything. And I can just relax. That's peace. No, the peace of God is different. The peace of God is a peace that we know that He is in control and that He gives us understanding of why He is allowing us to go through trials. And it is this understanding that gives us peace, knowing that there is a reason and knowing that God is in control. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That is the peace of God. It gives us understanding of why we're going through what we're going through. It helps us. We must trust God and call upon Him, and then He will give us that peace that is unlike any other. David looked to God for his shield, for peace, and also he realized that God is his sustainer. Look at the second part of verse 5 there. We'll just read the whole thing. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Now, turn to Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. David recognizes that God is his sustainer of life. David awoke from sleep, and he said that God sustained him. Sustained him not only from Absalom, but God is the sustainer of all life in every aspect. And without God's hand on our lives, there would be no life. David, he recognized this, and we must as well. God is the sustainer of physical life, and he is also the sustainer of spiritual life, of everlasting life. So we see he sustains physical life. Colossians 1:16-17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he sustains spiritual life. John 10:27-30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Some people believe that if you get saved, and then if you're going down the road or working somewhere and you commit a sin and you end up in a bad car accident and you die, well, because you hadn't had that particular sin forgiven, that's it. You're not saved. You're not going to heaven. But they fail to look at this passage and see that God is the one who sustains their spiritual life, that everlasting life. It says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What they fail to realize that they are a man or a woman themselves, which means that they themselves cannot even pluck themselves out of the hand of God. No man can do it. Jeff can't do it to me. Jim can't do it to Mike. But Mike can't do it to himself. Once we are saved, that is final. We are always saved. I praise God for that, because I know in my own life, it's hard. Sometimes, you know, you fail. But God is always willing to receive us back. But God, He is our sustainer of physical life and also spiritual life. And this is something that David also realized. David, he looked to God to be his shield. He looked to God for peace. He also recognized that God is his sustainer. And that's something else that we should think about. God is our sustainer. Without him, we can do nothing. You know, if God decided to remove his hand from your life, that would be it. There would be no breath in us. By him, all things consist. If he decided to remove his hand off of this world, nothing would be consisting anymore. In other words, we would have the Big Bang. Everything would just. But he sustains us. He's also our defender. Look at verse 6 of Psalms chapter 3. Verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. God is our defender. He protects us from those things which we are defenseless against. One way that God protects us is by enablement. Enablement to use God's word. God has given us the tools today for us to protect ourselves from the devil and his devices. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. God has given us the tools that we can use to protect ourselves and defend ourselves from the devil. And those tools we find here in this very familiar passage, Ephesians 4, verse 10, says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We see that God, he has given us the tools to be able to defend ourselves. We also see that God's protection, it comes by his supernatural working as well. And we see this in many examples of the Bible. We won't turn to anywhere, but one example that I often think of is Paul, when he was bitten by a poisonous snake, and God protected him from that. God wasn't done with Paul. God used that too. So Paul would be able to share the gospel. There are so many examples of God's supernatural working just from Paul's life. It's amazing. Even when we think in our lives, we each could look back and think of something where we had no control over the situation, but God worked it out and we couldn't explain it. I know Stephanie's parents have often given this testimony that while they were down at school, they didn't know where the next paycheck was coming from. They didn't know. When they looked back at their finances, on paper, they didn't have the money at all. But God just kept supplying here and there. And as they trusted God in his perfect will, God supplied the need. But they have no clue how that came about. All they know is that God supplied it and got them through that. We can see that in each of our lives. Look back at times where God has done that. Protection, it comes by God's supernatural working. So David, he has looked to God to be his shield. He's looked to him for peace. He realized that God is his sustainer and defender. And now, last of all, I'd like for us to see that David, he recognized God was his salvation. His salvation. Verse 8, Psalms chapter 3, Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Our salvation, it is through Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. He shed his blood on the cross so that he could pay the penalty for our sin. He is also the author and finisher of our faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our Redeemer, and he's also the author and the finisher of our faith. For salvation, we see that trust is required, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is all familiar to us. We each in here realize that God is our salvation. But do we thank him for that every day? Do we say, Lord, salvation belongeth to you. You've freely given that to me. How can I serve you? How can I give back? Use me, O Lord. Just as David did, we must look to God to be our shield. We must look to him to give us peace, to sustain us, defend us, and trust him for our salvation, which he has freely given. This is something that God will not force us to do, but he wants us to come to him willingly for each of these things. He wants us to come to him and to let him be our all. David is an example that we can follow. We must follow that example. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray, Lord, that you just help us to look to you for all of our needs and in every aspect of our lives, Father, to trust you. Well, thank you for that, Father. I pray, Lord, that as we go our separate ways today, that you would just protect us and give us a good rest of the afternoon. Well, thank you for that as well, and we love you, Father. In your name, amen. Go ahead and sing a song if you'd stand with me. Turn to 257.